It's Tuesday night, November 12th.
Yes, Lord, we ask that your spirit would mingle with our spirit or whatever, that there would be a flow of your spirit, O Lord, so that we would be edified tonight, that we would be tuned in to what it is that you have for us, Lord. No spirit of distraction would be able to successfully interfere with what's going on, O Lord. Mm. Oh, by your spirit, move amongst us tonight. Move with your truth, not what we would think of as a good idea in our own natural mind, but your truth, Lord, by your spirit. Do that good work.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Well, last week, and I think it could be a launching pad, but last week we were talking about, it didn't get recorded, but we were talking about we have come into a real understanding of Revelation. I shouldn't say a real understanding, because I don't know how much we have, but we've got something as far as unfolding Revelation. And if we have this, we're in a very small minority, because most people are under the thing that is what it is. It's not unfolding, but it's unfolded. You know, as far as they're concerned, they have the revelation. They got the truth. Whenever you see in a church organization, and they're basically all like this, and they say, this is what we believe. And as soon as they say, this is what we believe, you know that they've shut out the unfolding revelation. And it's not that some of the things they believe are true or right or good. That's not even it. But I have been asked over the years, I don't know by how many people, and some people that are, they're not here at the church now, but I mean, they're close to the church. And we see them every so often, and they said, well, what do we believe? They want to put me on the spot. What do we believe? And it's like, if we could decide what we believe, that will determine whether some people see or not. Which makes the assumption then that what we believe is right. You know, I want to go where people speak what I speak, because that way I know they're right. You see how goofy that is? That's not an unfolding revelation. That's not a love for the truth. That's a love for what I think is the truth. And you know what? That's basically what we have in churchianity.
And it might not even be a love for what you think is the truth. It might be a love for what you find convenient.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's true.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, having a love of the truth is a very small, and when it says few there be that find it, I'm starting to understand it. Few there be that have a real love for the truth, because they have you know, I've been there. When I've gone to a church or visited a church over the years, I thought I looked for one that agreed with me. I'm not looking to see if this is scripture or if this is what the Bible says. I want one that agrees with me.
Because you're right.
Because I'm right.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't need anybody challenging any of your beliefs.
No.
Including the Word, right?
Yeah. And I was not the exception. That's the way that it is. It's the church has, for the most part, when people go to a church, the church is made up of doctrines that hatched sure that's a fair way to put it, but that developed during the time of their parents or their ancestors, and so they don't question them. That's what you go by. You know, if it was good enough for my granddad, is it good enough for me? You know that song that we used to sing? Give me that old-time religion. Well, that's what people want. It's like, I want something that agrees with me. And so when people go to and find a church somewhere, that's what they're looking for. Well, let me go, I tell you what, I'll know if I want to go here, because let me go to a couple services and just see what they're saying. You know what? I like it. They agree with me. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
It's interesting. I had a little conversation with the guy that took me to the game and on the way back, and he mentioned that their church, shoot, no, I can't remember the name, but they had kind of a little falling away too, you know, and some people went off and they went to this, either started this new church or to another church, and so he thought, well, maybe I should go see what it's about. So he did, and one of the things they said is, well, to be a part of this church, you have to agree to Calvinism. And he said, so we talked a lot, and I said, yeah, you know, we talked about that's just a man's mind saying what he wants to make fit for his religion, and it's something to do with predestination, preordained, or whatever. But I never learned. I'd heard of it way back when, you know, but I never heard the true principles of what it was about. Anyway, so he said, "Well," he said, "I wasn't going to do that," you know. So he didn't do it, and we had a good discussion because we brought up the fact that, you know, doctrines are mostly man-made, and they don't line up with the Word of God. I mean, that's the point I made, and mentioned the fact of love for the truth and a few things. So didn't get real extensive, but that was good enough. You know, that was
planted seeds.
Yeah.
Just for myself, I consider myself very fortunate to be exposed to that notion that what you need is a love for the truth.
I do too.
If I weren't exposed to the notion, I don't know that I'd...
You wouldn't think it. No. You wouldn't just automatically think
No, I'd be... You know, and I'd sort of slip into the kind of a standard approach to the whole deal, or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. men's doctrines and so forth. And it's, you know, it's not merit on my part.
No, and...
results in that exposure.
You know, it's just like that, it was 2 Thessalonians 2:10. There's other places, but it's where it says, because they received not a love for the truth. You know, they received not a love for the truth. Meaning what? God was trying to give them a love for the truth, and they either did or did not receive it. Yeah. Because they did not receive it, that they might be saved. Well, you know what? It's like when Steve and I were talking about it, and it's easy to miss that little statement that they might be saved, and go on to the next where it says, so God would send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. But you know what? That little statement is, you know, that they might be saved. How many words is that? Five? That they might be, five words. That's a major statement. People don't realize that receiving the love for the truth is a salvation issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we go to church and we adopt ourselves, or we adapt to the doctrines of the church leads us. And what we do is we slowly embrace those doctrines, and we go over them and over them and over them and over them until we accept them. Right or wrong? Usually wrong. And the same thing is with the scriptures. When the Bible says that God is going to give us a new covenant, and He's going to write His word in our minds and in our hearts. You know, that is a major thing. And the thing is, how does He do it? Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, God can do things in the middle of the night and write them on your heart. But by hearing, God wants us to be hearing His word. So, but by the hearing of it over and over and over is the same thing as taking in false doctrines. The word of God will slowly become, you know, etched into our system. So that's why I think God, He blessed us with this idea of hearing the word. But the Bible says that repeatedly. You know, it says that way back in Ezekiel, where God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And then we read it, and at first you're talking about is a bunch of dry bones. But then it says these bones are the whole house of Israel. So we're not just talking about some dry bones. And remember, was it Denise that came up with a song that was good about the dry bones? And you know what? We were so caught up with the dry bones that we missed what the song was saying or what the scriptures were saying. Can these dry bones live? Ezekiel says, Lord, you know, you can ask me, you know. He says, prophesy to them. And see, that's what we're doing. We're learning prophecy. Prophesy to these bones and say, hear the word of the Lord. Isn't that what we've been doing? We have been prophesying to one another over and over. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. And we've been telling other people, hear the word of the Lord. And without realizing, we got this Psalm 19:7. That is one of those phenomenal verses of scripture, and it says, the word of God is perfect, converting the soul. And the thing is, and I am watching this, and I'm not going to mention the names, but I'm watching a number of people who are listening to the scriptures. They were listening all day, and now they're listening day and night. And it's like, why? Why are they? Because the word began to do something inside of them, until they wanted it. They wanted the word. And why do people want God's word? That wouldn't be something the natural man wants.
Spirit responds in some kind of way.
Yeah, it has to be a spiritual something that takes place. The word of God is not desirable to the natural man. What it does, it really does a number on him. But at the same time, there's something that God is building in us. And I tell you, it's called faith. And we don't always recognize it, but I don't in myself, but there's an ongoing substance that is building in me. And it's in relationship to the awesomeness of God and what God can do. See, the Bible says that Jesus said, with God all things are possible. You know what? That's hard for us to believe. Mm. If we could believe that, we'd have a faith substance that wouldn't stagger, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's hard to believe. What do you mean God can do all things? With God, all things are possible. That doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I believe God can do all things. I just don't know when He's going to do what I want to do. It's like, can God do this? Yes, He can. Is He going to do it? I don't know.
Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. That's what he says.
Yeah. Well,
if you could believe.
I'm just pointing out my weakness.
Yeah, I know.
I believe God can do all things. I really do. Yeah. But if I'm praying for this or praying for that, and whether that happens or not, kind of depends on how closely I'm aligned to God's will versus my will.
That's who we are.
And I find out not so much.
That's who we are.
That's interesting. If you believe, all things are possible.
That's what it says.
Kind of turns the book around a little, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
All things are possible with God. If you believe, all things are possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah. It's kind of all on you.
Yeah?
But faith comes by hearing.
Right.
Yeah. And that by the Word of God. So the more we hear the Word of God, the more that faith substance is going to build in us. And it is. It is. I heard some things lately. The phenomenal faith things. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm hesitant to say much about it, but at the same time,
you know, to go back to what you were talking about initially, I find it interesting because you think about how the enemy gets in and just bumps things off of truth just enough so it's a miss. And you think about all the churches and all the denominations, and they've all been around for a while. And then if you go, no, I'm not doing any standard denominations, I'm doing this new thing. Oh, you're in a cult. Immediately, the enemy comes in and rejects that, because even if you are on to something that's new, it's not an established doctrine, so therefore it's some wacky new thing. You know, like it gets minimized and tossed right off, because we're on a path that we weren't on all that long ago.
You know that that's what the Pharisees were saying?
Sure.
They were saying that this new thing was a cult. They said that he's doing this by Beelzebub.
It's how you try and take it away.
Yeah.
Cut the legs off.
They just say you're doing an old thing then. A whale. From the very beginning.
Yeah. It's way old, it's wrong.
Way old, true. Who's it? No, it's the oldest thing. I don't know, third.
No, I was just sitting there thinking, because, so, there are the denominations, and there's some good in them, but they either stop, or there's spots where they just stop paying attention to the word. But, you know, we're not subscribing to that. And we, you know, even we said, well, you know, what are you doing? Well, we just look at the word every day. Well, not many people have been doing that. That's got to be some sort of, you know, off the wall thing.
Because that's a cult.
Yeah,
that's what a cult
is. It's a cult, because if it wasn't off the wall, more people would be doing it. They would have been doing it longer. You know, and it's just, I'm just saying how the enemy gets in there and just undermines things. Like I said, just cuts it right off the knees, and I can't do that. And then, that's just to get back to, it's so easy to get knocked off the mark. I mean, we were saying, if you believe, one of the first things that we got, like the first, there was, go where I am. Repent. If you believe, seek me day and night. Work out your own salvation. And there's these fundamental truths that are not, that are fairly open in the scriptures. If you look at it, Jesus is not a God. He's a man. You know, we've been given all these things, you know, kind of like this. And, you know, I kind of look at it as the foundation is being built. And just got to keep after it. The scourging part is you got to keep after it. You never get there. Like, there's always another nail to go hammer.
The devil is the main one that accuses people of being of him. You know what I mean? The devil working in people, he knows, you know, what the scriptures say, so he says, you know, well, they're of the devil. Well, he's the one that's saying that. He's behind it. because he knows that that's how much that goes against Christ.
You know, churches that stand pat in their doctrine, I'm sure, well, and it has to be true, that they are figuring, in some sense, rightly so, that they are standing pat against the modern world that wants to accept homosexuality and all the range of other things, just make things consistent with modern times to tickle the ears. And so churches that say, whoa, no, none of that, we're staying with what our grandparents believed, they're resisting in that sense correctly. But what it's doing is preventing them from flowing with the river of the Spirit.
Yeah. When I was in that Lutheran church and got filled with the Holy Spirit, the people began to request these old Lutheran songs, you know, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a lot of them that were, you know, foundational hymns, rather than get into spiritual songs. You know, there was a lot of do songs that Joanne really liked, and they didn't go over real big. But anyway, it was like they would request. I don't know how you say request. Well, the pastor's wife played piano. So, I don't know that we had some kind of music ministry. I don't remember, but anyway, they concentrated on these songs that would kind of seemingly oppose what was going on. We had come in there, you know, we'd learned a number of new, really nice songs. See, I used to play the guitar, and we had, fellowships and, you know, campfire things, and we'd sing songs. And so we had a list of some of the, what we considered more spiritual songs, and we'd sing them, but they didn't go over real good.
Kind of like singing anti-Trinity songs?
No, they weren't even anti-Trinity.
No, it'd be kind of like...
Yeah, yeah, because I wasn't even convinced of the... I was still Trinitarian. When Jerome was healed, I still kind of supported the Trinity.
You just get stuck in the old traditions.
Yeah.
You know, they can't get away from the old traditions.
Yeah.
It's worked for many years, and their parents, grandparents on down the line, you know, it was good enough for them, good enough for me, like, you know. And that's as far as they go with it, you know.
Well, if you believe the book isn't new, you know, it's just letters. You don't believe it's living, and so...
But how many people in the churches you've been talking about, Monday through Friday, Saturday, pick up and read the Bible? And when they go to church, do they even read the Bible? Or they just sit there and listen, you know, and then hand off money, you know?
No, I agree.
Sorry. I mean, I appreciate you getting that done for me. I get that set up tomorrow.
And the strange thing is, I mean, I read the Bible for years, and I look back on it, I really never gained much from it. I never gained that much insight or anything until I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and even then, it was formative. It wasn't easily understood, and. It never changed really until 20 years ago. Until we started taking it in. You know, God did give us the word to use as a as an accident or as a what's the wild thing. He meant that word to be a part of us. God gave us that word to change us. You know, the word of God is perfect, converting the soul. God gave it to us for a reason, but we never understood that. I didn't understand it when I heard a voice that one morning. At that point, I didn't understand that. I had to hear the scriptures, you know, like Psalms 1. I had to hear that. I had to hear the other ones that we have discovered. I mean, just simple little scriptures. And Ezekiel 37. I mean, I had to have those start to be embedded in me before I started seeing the value of it. And I realized, you know what? This was not something that was accidental. God's intention from the time that it was put together, that he said it, his intention was that every person should be consumed with it. He says, this new covenant I make with you. It's not like the old one. It is, but it isn't. The same laws that you had on tablets of stone, now I want them to be you. I want you to be what those words are. I want them written in your minds and in your hearts until that's what you become. Well, you know, we go about our work and we don't think of, I'm the Word of God. You know, we don't think that way, and we're really not in that sense. But we're slowly, the Word slowly etches its way and what it is into us. It begins to write on the fleshly tablets of our hearts. You know, it does something. And everybody here, we're all being changed by God's Word. And so are a lot of other people that we know. CFA is being changed. And I heard just enough to know, and it's like, that doesn't mean that he agrees with everything here, or that we agree with him. It doesn't mean that. That's not even the point. We can't expect that. But God is doing a major, major work in him, and I couldn't, there was no way I could miss it. I know the man. I know him too well.
You know, when I first came, someone once said to me that, you know, if you try and go to the Word to prove something you think, it would be very difficult. Yet, you think about it, you come into a church, and you're told this is the church doctrine. And then you, as you're reading the Word, you're trying to make that fit the church doctrine.
I try it for years.
And you try, so it's like, so it's kind of the same thing, where you've got these are the answers. And here's how you read the questions, and you're good. And you know, you're reading them trying to satisfy the answers. And I think one of the biggest revelations that we got was that we basically wiped the chalkboard clearing and said, we're coming at this like little children, and we're waiting to be taught. We're not assuming we know. And it makes the scriptures behave in an entirely different way.
Exactly.
Where the Spirit can flow through them where they couldn't before, because you already knew what you wanted the Spirit to lead you to. The Spirit wouldn't do that because it was a wrong conclusion. And now we're waiting for the Spirit to lead us to God's truth.
Yeah.
And we're open to what that truth is.
We're creations. But the thing is, we're strange creations. strange in the sense that we have a pride issue. We have, and we want to be right. We don't want to be wrong. And so, what we want to do is we want to find out what right is. So if anybody asks us, we can tell them. This is what right is.
And look good doing it, too.
Yeah. We want to look as good as we can at the same time. And be as accomplished as possible. And we really don't want anybody to tell us we're wrong. God forbid. Me included. I mean, that's something of the past now, but well, yeah. You know, I understand. I really know this. I really got a good handle on it. I come to a place where I really don't have a good handle on it. That's why I try to say that I'm not so sure that we're going to have all the answers even when we end up in heaven.
All what?
All the answers when we end up in heaven.
All answers.
I think we're going to spend maybe the first million or so years just learning basics.
Just getting it figured out.
And that's all speculation. I don't know.
You know, it's funny when you say that. It's like we didn't want to be wrong. You don't want to be wrong. You don't want to think that you're chasing an untruth.
Yeah.
And as bad as that is, we used to be the place that we prefer that to believing in untruth and putting our salvation at risk. And now it's kind of like, if I don't have this right, I'm really looking for everyone else to go, that's wrong. You know, and not, maybe not even a gentle way, like, where are you coming up with that? I don't see that at all. You know, and what's the benefit of that? Well, I'm back on the track that I'm not being deceived. And before, we were more worried about, you know, I'd rather, would you rather be deceived than be wrong?
Yeah.
It's like, that's a pretty ugly spot.
Well, what this has all done, it has really taken a lot of pressure off of me. Because I know that you don't all expect me to have all the answers. We're in the process of revelation. It's unfolding on a daily basis, whatever, you know. And so I don't have to feel stupid just because I don't know some answers. And there's not a lot of answers I do know, so, you know.
You know, I don't know if being wrong is not bad. Because being wrong, you are opening the door to being right. You know what I mean?
I think that's true.
Yes. That's good.
So I will welcome being wrong. You know what I mean? And now I don't want to go from wrong to wrong. You know what I mean? Because you can. You know. But it's humbling to, first of all, discover you're wrong. Second, to accept you were wrong. Because you could be thinking you were right for all your life. And that's what happened to the Pharisees, I suppose, for a while. You know, you've been doing all this all your life, but not so much. You know what I mean?
But accepting the fact that you've made a mistake is a very important thing.
It is.
It's a critical step.
Yeah. Now, if you're only taught, you're only taught by God, how can you learn, how can you be wrong? You know, you can't, and maybe you'll get little bits and pieces, you know what I mean? You can't go wrong, you can't go wrong by being taught of God. However, you know, when you're learning from God, all of a sudden, if man tries to help, you know, that's, you can, you never know what's going to happen, really. You know, I don't know.
I think God is interested in the end result. And there could be some error in our own, you know, he's letting our, he's giving us enough rope to be thinking our own mistakes.
I want,
you know, but as long as he gets us to where he wants us to be, then, but there could be some mistakes in the, that process, though, you know?
No, because we are man, you know, like just man, and you know, I wonder what love for the truth means. I don't know that, I know what it means, but love for the truth, I don't know that it means that you know all truth, and at the same time, even what you know, like you say, could have errors. And I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the love of the truth means that you keep listening to the truth, which is the Word of God. That won't make you all knowledgeable about truth, probably ever.
I think a very important element to love of the truth is acknowledging and rejecting your errors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is an excellent way of demonstrating a love of the truth.
Right.
Whoa, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. That's what I was always thinking, but it's wrong, so I'm rejecting that thought.
Right.
I just to say, the truth is unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been more revelation, and you were here, and God has shown you that you really wanted to be here.
All right.
That's a good way of knowing if you have a love for the truth, if you can admit when you're wrong, because that's the only way you can have a love for the truth.
Yeah.
Right. Because it means you don't have it. So if you realize it, but you have a love of the truth, then you'll keep searching for truth, you know.
To continue in the Word, it's the evidence of the love of the truth, because if you don't continue in the Word, it's a way of saying that you already know the truth. But if you admit that there's more truth to be known, you continue in the Word. You continue. You know, I've heard a couple of people saying, I already read the Bible. You know what I mean? But that's not the love for the truth. You know what I mean? At all. No.
I don't need to eat food. I'm eating food.
Right.
So I just had the thought of all of Jesus' teachings, like the Sermon on the Mount and everything. If you have a love for the truth, you should have a desire to want to fulfill all of those teachings, which is pretty hard to do.
Oh,
I mean, if you did fulfill them all, it'd mean you'd be walking perfect like he did. But, you know, so it's because I'm just thinking, searching for truth. Well, sometimes I think we forget some of the teachings that make you a godly person. You know?
What do you mean?
By following the teachings of Jesus, like on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, like the meek and being meek and turning your cheek and, you know, all
they take your cloak, give them your tunic, or
yeah, all of that. See, do you have a love? Do you have the truth if you can't do that? I don't know. I mean, I don't know where that fits in. You know what I'm saying?
For me, it's a test case to realize where I am.
Yeah.
Which is short of where he wants me to be.
Right. I mean, I could say I know that principle is true. It's whether or not I can carry it out in my life, in my walk.
Yeah. In John 16:13, in the King James, I don't know if it's in the same way or the rest of it. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. What does it say in some other translations?
So that's an interesting thing. We keep sitting there saying, well, probably never, da da da, and then it says he will guide you into all truth.
He will, if he's guiding you, it doesn't mean that he's specifically teaching you in each one. He is guiding you into it.
That's right.
Which could be a matter of making some mistakes
realizing
you gotta make some mistakes,
learning from your mistakes.
Yeah, but and you know what? One of the, I shouldn't say one, a big area of safety is the more than one prophet.
Yes, I think that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let the prophet speak and let the others judge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, if any substance be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace, that you all may learn. And so, we learn from each other, and this has been a major, major, major thing, and you don't see it. That's one of the blessings that God has blessed us with. You don't see it in most church circles. It's just not there. There's not an what's the word I want? I want to say a round robin. That's not it. There's not a grouping of people that have taken the word in enough so that they can correct somebody that's wrong. Even the pastor. Of course, a lot of them wouldn't be afraid to, but...
John 16:13 says, he will guide you into all truth, pretty much in all the translations.
Does it say guide?
Guide. Well, one place, one says lead, you know, and one place says whole truth instead of not all truth. But, I mean, 18 out of 20.
So
guide you into.
So if he did a guide,
was 16:3.
John 16:3. Yeah.
So if he's guiding you, that gives you a little bit different slant to it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He is in order to be guided, you'd have to be open to enough of the truth. So that you hear it, and then it's slowly built into you. You know what?
You know, sometimes we have to like cheat, I suppose, and just think, just sometimes, just to remember that Jesus is truth. So every time that you see the word truth in the Bible, let's say, substitute it with Jesus. For once, you know, he will guide you into Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So truth is a place, I like to say. It's not a knowledge, but yeah, it is, you know, knowledge of the truth. But it's a place where you are, more than, you know,
I think the truth of study. I think there is something to what you're saying.
Yeah. You know, I'm just
not having all the right answers.
Right.
You know, the correct answers.
You know, Jesus says, "I am the truth." So why not substitute the word "truth" in the Bible with Jesus to see what happens? You know what I mean? A couple of times, I mean, then go back to not substitute it, but maybe to get a little bit of understanding or a different light. You know, I want to hear, we were talking about a minute ago, it says about, Ken said something about it. It says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and that's Jesus, you know, that the light, that Jesus has come into the world, the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, you know, the truth, or Jesus. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light or truth or Jesus. Unlike my own Amplified version, I suppose, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth, you know, this is what you were saying something, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen. Oh, the Sermon on the Mountain, okay. That they have been done in God. So if you love the truth, you come to the light, and your deeds, your evilness will be exposed. you know, not necessarily to man, but exposed to God, yeah. You know. So, I don't even know why the Sermon on the Mount from me here, but
you know, in John 18, Jesus said, I have come to bear witness to the truth. And those who are of the truth
mm-hmm.
hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, that's kind of what you're saying
right.
in a sense. Truth is not getting the facts correct on
right.
a test.
Yeah.
You know, 100%
right.
you've got all
right.
the answers right.
Right.
It's not that.
No.
It's a
no.
place or a condition
yeah.
or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
Right.
Good.
You know,
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of the whole thing. It's interesting to read all the different ways the Helper will help you. Because in 14, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I never thought about it. See, it's kind of like we've had this seed planted in us of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Just we haven't, it hasn't developed every, all of it, you know? And then
germinate that seed.
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, reading His Word, I mean, that's
right.
that's why we've started having some truth, because He's bringing the remembrance of what He spoke.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
I like that idea of abide. The truth abiding in us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, being our constant
right.
companion or
right.
something, you know? Being right, you know, in us.
Mm.
That's different than our ordinary view of knowing the truth.
Right. So, you know, and the Father will send and will give you the Spirit of Truth that will abide for you. So, can I give you truth? Apparently not. You know what I mean? The Father can give you truth.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go around trying to give people truth, which is we can't.
Mm-hmm.
The Father will give it to you. He will send you the Spirit of Truth that will abide with you forever. I can't. I can pray that you will get it.
According to the Word.
Right.
You made a point or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's nothing. I can do nothing for you to have to. I cannot give you truth. I have truth in me according to us. I have the Spirit of Truth in me. I can't give it to you. There's no way.
You know, it's kind of interesting here because Jesus is the one who's saying all these things. And, like, in 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from me,
the Father.
From the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. So it's definitely coming from God. The whole way, you know. Now Jesus is kind of directing, you know, more or less, and being the interceder, kind of for you to have that Helper. I just love those settings. Takes me off the hook for one.
The settings you're talking about.
And I just saw red about the Helper and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, because it just tells you that you are not going to get it from man, or you aren't going to get it from you as a man, as in your brain or your intelligence or anything else.
I'm just fearful of getting in the way. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I do get in the way. I think that's what you're saying. We do get in the way, if I may say we.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We do.
Yeah, we worry.
And now I'm going to start praying a little on the fact that that thing is already in me.
Yes, that's good. That is good.
Yeah.
Hey, grow.
Yeah. Let me be open to this thing growing, you know.
Is it in Matthew 6? I think, where Jesus said, which one of you, by taking thought, can add a cubit? A cubit to his stature.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he must be meaning, you know, by worrying about something.
Yeah.
By taking thought, you know. You can't worry anything.
Well, do a bunch of good.
Huh?
Well, do no good.
So, and the Father knows what we have need of. And so the secret to the thing is our confidence in God. You know, and that's what God wants us to have, is a total confidence. And it's not that we haven't yet, but I think we're getting closer all the time. My confidence is getting a lot closer. It's,
you know, I just, I thought of a kind of a, analogy, maybe stretching a little here, but we were talking a little bit, Joel and I, on the way home, about, you know, like, people were taken by surprise that Trump got elected. Well, it's partly because, say, the other side just thought they had it because they weren't hearing. Because most of us, we weren't voicing anything. We were just saying, well, I'm not going to get in a big argument, but I know who I'm going to vote for, you know. Well, here we are. We're not making a big noise. I'm now spiritually. But the day's coming when he's going to say, you know, just like then, because that was God. I say that's God. God's in charge of all the elections, you know, really. And he has his reasons why one gets in and another doesn't. I don't always understand it. You probably don't either. But it's in his control. It's his plan. And so there's a plan coming where we're going to be elected.
Well,
you know,
and
to speak.
The thing is,
or a point,
and it'll come without observation.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Nobody can see this necessarily.
And
in the church world, you know.
And you use a good illustration that I want to follow up on. I was as dumbfounded and surprised as anybody else about the election, what happened. And I think that that's where the church sits right now. It's like here we are. We're starting to get some understanding of the humanity of Christ, which is major. It's a major, major revelation. And what the thing is, we don't know how many other thousands and thousands of people have that revelation.
Yeah.
Or how quick God can give to them. If they get the Wonder Bible. And I've looked at that thing and I said, how did that ever get in place? It's in bookstore after bookstore, and it's in all kinds of stores all over the place. I went over, I bought a couple of them at Walmart, and they're right here on the aisle. The girl that works right here didn't even know they had them. You know what I mean? How did God sneak that old pastor? But he did. And it's like God has worked diligently to put Bibles into the hands of everybody that he can, and some people are going to be listening to him.
It is a funny covert operation, though, undercover.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But that's the way God works.
Well, you say he's going to pour out his spirit near the end times. Maybe that's
right.
How he's doing it.
Yeah.
You know.
Joel's army's going to get raised up. And
you know, when you kind of think about it, the numbers will probably still be like a remnant, a smaller number. But when he wants to, if he wants to bring forth this revelation of really who his son is, then when you think about it, if we were the only ones, how effective would that be?
Oh.
It's like when he brings it forth, all of a sudden they'll be like, thousands, which will make a whole lot of people have to stop and take notice, you know. But they probably wouldn't take notice of 7-8 people. But when there's thousands of them proclaiming the same thing all of a sudden, you know, you're not going to convert everybody. But the fact is, it'll awaken. I mean, there'll be light coming, you know. Like it says, He is the light, and the light will shine. And it'll be shining in a lot of places.
But God sent Jesus with 12 to do what you said we probably can't do.
Well, no, I mean,
I know what you're saying, but you see, what I'm saying is,
yeah,
it can be done.
It can start small.
Yeah.
And then,
you know.
And I guess you're not disagreeing with that.
No.
I
not to say that he couldn't use it. Yeah. I mean, I've had the thought, how could he?
He's going to use this big thing later on, you know.
But, yeah.
I mean.
No, that's true.
I don't know how many people here are listening to these tapes that you go out, but, you know, but there are people out there listening to it, you know, so we are reaching out in a way, kind of indirectly, but, you know, we're bringing it to people.
God is over all.
Amen.
So, in an instant of time, He can have somebody that we've never met stand up and give this a message on the humanity of Christ that will reach literally millions of people. I mean, God didn't send us to replace His Son.
Well, you know, they say that Paul would never have been able to minister in the way that he did if the Romans hadn't built those roads that they built all over that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'd say the same thing for the internet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Same, you know, never could have done this without.
I'd sure like to see it be done without it, but,
right, yeah.
But I think it'd be much more miraculous.
But God had to give the inventor of this recorder machine the knowledge to do that.
Right.
He didn't come up with it on his own. God gave it to him, you know, to put out there, you know.
Yeah, that's
what. Because everything is given. Everything we've got has been given by God.
Yeah, all wisdom and knowledge comes from God.
Right.
Nothing surprises
me. I know at home, my wife and I have to say every once in a while, when we start thinking about, talking about it, we have to say, God's in control. God's in control. You know, there's nothing we could do. It's all in God's hands, you know.
The guy that I was with, he gets, you know, kind of caught up with getting the left bashing the right, you know, and all that. And so I kind of emphasized that. Yeah, I said, I don't think about that as much anymore because I've learned that God's in control of everything. Everything. You know? And so I said, well, sure, I guess I can go vote. You know, but I'm not going to go out and get in discussions to try to change people's thoughts or win them over or anything else, because and it's, he pointed out too, it's changed because in the past, and the guy I'm working with right now said the same thing. He said, you know, it used to be you could discuss things and people didn't hate you when you didn't agree with them, but now they hate you. You know. And that's what Joel said that too, and the guy I work with, they brought that. Yeah, that's true. They do. It's it's like, no, you don't agree? I hate you. You're totally an idiot, you know, or whatever. It's
To agree to disagree.
It's really gotten to be a separation now.
To agree to disagree is no longer out there, you know. Either,
well, some still say it, but
yeah,
you know, they don't follow it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That's another one of those things with more faith that you can walk in it, that God's in control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's a classic example of, well, yeah, God's in control as I'm studying the ark. Yeah. I'm helping him.
You know, and I had an example of it personally. You know, I used to ride. There was the three of us would ride bike to get fat tires, especially in the winter. And his name was Scott, and Joel and me. And there was one night we were together, and their two wives were there, and there was a discussion, and it got a little somewhat heated, and I actually did go ride with the guy the next morning and said, man, that was crazy. I said, that was just, so it was like, I hope we can leave that in the past. And he kind of agreed, haven't talked to him since.
On politics or anything?
Anything. Oh. His wife is the one that was especially really irate. I mean, and she just must have said, there is no way we're ever talking to them again, you know, and they haven't. And I kind of wanted to text Scott and say, Scott, you know, did it come to the fact that we can't even just go ride bike together because of that? You know, mm-hmm. But remains. So I don't know. I have to see pray about it. But
that's the way the world is now.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's like, I mean, gee, I thought we had a discussion. It got a little heated. Tomorrow's another day, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We misinterpret passion.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think even in our own setting here, we hold strong convictions and we're passionate about our position, but we're willing to acknowledge that our position isn't right or it can be improved.
Yeah.
And so it gets back to saying, I don't claim have everything. This is what I see. And what I see may still have been influenced by the enemy. And I don't want that. It's not my heart. So
I think God is here, the enemy is out there in the kind of political discussion.
And then the whole thing comes down to like what you said. So how does that affect me eternally? Yeah. Politics. Well, it doesn't affect you one single bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it could. I mean,
it could turn you back.
It could send you to hell because you got this right. Stupid but then you won't give up. But, you know, but I mean, otherwise, it has absolutely nothing to do with your eternal life. You know? And you could even be a little passionate about, you know, a certain side as long as,
however,
you know,
the football is different.
Yeah.
Vikings are just a step to bridge too far.
I thought you were really going to put your hand on the Holy Grail and say deer hunting. Football is one thing, but you start shooting down at deer hunting, and now we got a discussion on our hands. I can tolerate a lot of stuff, but I'm pushing back.
Today I was at the Goodwill store. I saw a Favre Vikings jersey.
Oh, really?
I thought it would be kind of a good gang for someone.
So in other words, it was so cheap you were trying to find a reason to buy it.
I really do appreciate what God has given us.
Yeah.
It's kind of like probably I've not told you before. Every time I see Dominic, I kind of look at him and say, don't mess up the gift that God has given you. You know, just stay after things and keep your head up. You know, and I kind of feel like that's really good counsel for all of us. God has given us a really great opportunity. to walk more right. Mm-hmm. And it's upon us to keep looking.
That's very definitely true.
And even though we don't want to say things pointing towards the mistakes of people, we don't want to point that out to people, but at the same time, it's good for us to understand certain things, like the fact that people have grown up into wrong doctrine, and so I mean, they're deceived. It's not even that they're saying, "Well, I choose to believe a lie." I mean, God causes strong delusion, but at the same time, it people fall into this thing. You can't even say, somebody's been a Lutheran for three generations.
Such an easy trick of the enemy. If you're at the point where you're not willing to admit that something you think you know is wrong, you can't move.
No.
You have mm-hmm. to be open. That's why I think when we say, we have to approach the word as little children, you have to be open to the fact that mm-hmm. what you think you know, with a little more revelation or a little more the Holy Spirit, you realize, well, you didn't really know that, or you didn't know it accurately or very deeply, and now you have a better understanding. And if you can't do that, you can't move.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, say you're a third generation Luther. Well, I think you could fall into the category of ignorance then, which means there's still an opportunity. Because Paul said, I was ignorant. Well, look at where he was in his mm-hmm. teaching. I mean, he was a higher. So, it's like, until it's brought, God may have some grace there yet for a lot of these people, but we've said, but once he shines the light on the truth, mm-hmm. then the whole thing changes,
Told Paul when he had that vision on the way to Damascus, and he said it's hard for you to kick against the goads, the pricks. What is he talking about? Like Stephen's thing? Would that be one of them? Maybe, or it must have been other things. God was trying to get his attention, and he wouldn't bend.
That's I never thought of that, but yeah, that's good. He somehow.
So you say something to
him. So what you're saying is the still quiet voice of the Lord wasn't getting through, so he had to be blinded on the road for 3 days, and he's, I'm paying attention now.
Okay, so you're talking to some guy, and he's not agreeing with you, whatever, but you're planting the seed.
Right.
Yeah. And you never know at what point that seed will. Was sprout.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, I mean, it's possible, because I would believe that Paul was probably standing there when Stephen gave his sermon.
Well, he was.
Yeah, it says he was holding everybody's coat while they were throwing rocks.
Yeah, so all of a sudden, then he gets this voice from heaven and gets blinded, and he's probably going through his mind, boy, all that stuff he said, maybe that's, I was supposed to be paying attention.
If he was killing Christians, who knows what kind of witness he was receiving from the Christians.
Exactly.
They were
How many times did he have to have him say, Lord, forgive him?
But it just goes to show that you can't ever judge who's reachable and who's not. Because only that knows the heart.
Yeah, and the other part of that is, I don't have to see the fruits. It's kind of like, I did this.
I'm going to keep following up to see if or not.
Maybe we need a refresher. It's like, I mean, there's a natural tendency to want to see the fruits.
Yeah. I told the story before, maybe, I don't know if you remember it, by being on the campus of the University of Minnesota when I was, you know, 7-8 years before I ever got saved, and being approached by someone and, you know, having a discussion, and said, oh, let's just pray about this. So we did, felt just the peace, you know, which was a little troubling. We went on our way, and, you know, that experience stuck with me. And it would be nice to be able to thank that fella for his whatever, his willingness to come up and approach me and whatever.
Yeah. You know, you could do that right now if you wanted to. Just ask Lord, you know, send a thank you. You know, you don't have to do it in person.
I guess, but it's possible. But no, you're right. Yeah, I do need to express my thank you. Mm-hmm. And bless the fella. Lord, bless that man.
Mm-hmm. Bless him for being open.
Yes, yeah. Bless him. He'd be able to continue in. And in his walk with you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I were approached by some young people when we were down in Florida on our sort of a honeymoon, whatever. It's kind of crazy. But, you know, on the beach or somewhere at night. Of course, my big thing then was, I got a higher power, I'm good. Because I was, you know, in the AA program at the time. But there are things too. I remember my one brother-in-law at a Christmas thing saying, well, there's only one way. I got a high rabbit. And I've never forgot that he said that, though. And he was right, you know. Mm-hmm.
But you never know what that one word you say to somebody is going to affect them and mean something to them, mm-hmm. You know. You know, I mean, it could be a good word, or it could be a bad word. Either way, it's going to affect them some way or another. Preferably, they'd be good words, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there's no way God should save you by reading a book.
No.
But he did me.
Well, you know, when you're talking about reading the Bible, you can read the Bible, but then you can read the Bible, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just to say, well, I read the Bible. Okay, you read the Bible. You know, I read War and Peace, which I didn't do, but, you know. You know, but, you know.
But you wouldn't go out and tell anybody, hey, go read the book.
No. Because now, you know. Yeah, it's God, grace, used it, because he knew it would work for me,
right.
You know, but yeah, now there's no way, in fact, I told the guy I was with, I said, yeah, I don't read anything anymore by anybody.
Right.
I said, I'll occasionally listen to someone once in a while just to see what's there, but I said, I don't even listen to other preachers or whatever, you know, it's out. Sure, that'll let them have some fun on that. I mean, I don't hear that from people nowadays. You know, I mean,
everybody, oh, yeah, I listen to this. I listen to this. Listen to this. It's like,
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yes, strain the faith. But I guess we're lucky. We're up here in the North Country. We don't have to see all the stuff that's going on in East Coast and West Coast, you know, to live it at the right now anyway, you know.
You mean as far as nature and everything?
Yeah, the homelessness and everything that's going on in the world, the riots and everything, you know. They're not in our back door right now. But you look at that, and that's kind of an indication of what's going to be like when that time comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, look at like Chile.
Yeah.
Look at Japan right now.
Japan.
Oh, really bad.
Ooh.
In Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Hong Kong, not in Japan, but Hong Kong.
Yeah, what's going on?
Oh, they're rebelling against the Chinese.
For several months.
About what?
Where they want democracy.
Yeah.
And China is the one that's in control of Hong Kong.
What a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, a 70-year treaty that's 50 years into the treaty, and 20 years from now, the treaty is kind of, they get absorbed, and one of them's communism, one of them's democracy, and democracy is not, they see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not good. So
you're saying they don't want to wait until the 20 years is up?
No, I think they're riding. I mean, it started because, sorry for the lesson, but the person in charge of Hong Kong, which is appointed by China, put forth a bill that said if you committed a crime in Hong Kong, you could be extradited to China. Well, in Hong Kong, they have a much more what we would call fair system of judgment and punishment, whereas in Hong Kong or in China, they kill you. You know, they just take you out and you never heard of again. And the people in Hong Kong rightly did not react well to the fact that this change was occurring. And so they've been rioting against this, the prime minister, I think, or whatever they call that person in charge. And they finally live in millions of people every weekend. So it's missed. I don't know if this is rises to the strangest of how Santiago just
the whole country. This whole country is a mess. I mean,
over the Toco region.
That was just the beginning, but they were just whining about it. Just whining. This is it. Whining, destroying at the same time, and then stealing from all the shops.
Yeah, looting.
Yeah.
You could. I mean, I'm not saying, but someone could try and make an argument that this is kind of the beginning of end times. You see this lack of society holding and civil unrest.
Yeah,
it's just lawlessness.
But you know, it's first of all, it's the perfect plan of God. It's God's perfect plan. Mm-hmm. Whatever good or bad is God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even is God now, but the reason now God planted a seed in like, and you know, this is the seed that we plant. I mean, everybody that's whining all over the place is 20-year-old guys, 30-year-old guys. I mean, those are the guys that now that you couldn't spank and that you couldn't correct and that you couldn't do anything. That and now the police officers in Chile. They can't do nothing. If you do anything to them, they sue you. It's like, the guys could be like burning a place down, and if you hurt them, to stop them from doing it, it's wrong that you hurt them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you expect? And so it's a mess. It's all orchestrated by God for whatever reason. It's not going to get it. It won't be fixed. It's unfixable. It's that bad. I don't even know what's going on in Hong Kong. And you know what? It's coming. We're America.
I mean, the way they said it today, it was like it. They said Hong Kong could be following. Or how is that what they said? Well, Hong Kong could be like lost or what? Yeah, it's like
China's going to go in and just.
Well, or the economy and everything must be totally collapsing within the city because they can't do anything.
No.
It's all rioting going on.
Yeah, I don't see an end to it. I don't know why we got. I mean, it's the end times. It's gonna be the same. And people are gonna look into Hong Kong and Chile, or whatever, and say, let's riot about everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just
like I said. Paris, I mean, they've been doing it in Paris for weeks.
Really?
Yeah. Long before Hong Kong, before Chile, they were doing it in Paris. I mean, and it was the same sort of thing where people were revolting against what the government was trying to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it was just.
And
America is not. Black Lives Matter and all the other. I mean, there's a lot of civil unrest that's going around on the globe.
You know, and rightly so. I can see how people in Chile are upset. I mean, the guys in office, in you know, the politicians, are there's this idiot. They make like 40 grand a month. He used to be like some weird comedian, bad comedian actor, and he dresses funny in office. It's like, and he's doing nothing. And so he's making 40 grand a month. So there they go, all these people that are working 60 hours a week, and they can barely eat, they can barely pay their rent. So I can understand how people are frustrated, but.
But to bring it back is, if you don't have faith in God,
yeah,
you can look at all this and get really, really worried.
Yeah.
But if you know that this is part of His plan,
it is,
and His plan is perfect,
yeah,
then you don't have to worry.
No. No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The end of the book isn't all fun. I mean,
yeah, no.
The last years of tribulation,
yeah,
there's work.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So.
And that's what I said. My wife and I, we say it's in God's hands.
Yeah.
We keep telling ourselves that all the time, reminding us that it's in God's hands, you know. Mm-hmm. And we keep reminding us of that, each other of that, you know.
You know, there is a stability in a logjam. You know, it's stable.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want a logjam. You want those logs to float on down the river.
Yeah.
That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to. You don't want a logjam.
Right.
And so there's times when stability is exactly what you don't want.
Right.
You've got to take, they throw sticks of dynamite into logjams to break them.
Yeah.
Logjams, so they'll do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
And it could be that what we see is stability, you know, well, if we only have stability, you know,
yeah,
it's just a logjam. And it's not, the thing isn't happening the way it's supposed to happen. What's supposed to happen is those logs are supposed to float down the river.
Right.
Now be jammed.
Yeah, it's a disaster. It's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess.
Probably should have stopped 10 minutes ago.
Okay. You don't want to put that out.
No.